How can people overlook you?
Don't,
Jesus Christ!
Wow.
Wow!
That's good for the driver.
What stadium speakers with a strap?
My God!
Run them loud.
My what?
All right.
How's that?
That's okay.
Is that better?
Hold on.
Better. Smoot just brought something.
There's my man, Wendell Hall.
Smoot's always got like a pair of Pro 4As, always just like sitting in it. I think he's got like 60 of them under his desk.
There you go, Smoot.
You really?
Look at that. Wow. Extra pair of mine.
Look at that. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Isn't that better?
Now, what is this? Actually, you left them in Philly. Why does she sass me on the instant messages?
Sass you?
Hey.
Because she's sassy.
I didn't leave them anywhere, honey. God damn it, honey. Come in here for a second.
God damn it, honey.
God damn it, honey.
Yeah.
I didn't leave them anywhere.
Yes, I'll tell you what. We went to YSP Studios on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I said, did you get your headphones from Rob? And you said, oh, no, he took them home. And you said, Mike, can I borrow yours for the pregame show?
Right.
And I took them out and I put them in the room where we had our luggage.
Correct.
And then we left and you went back for the pregame show that day.
And they weren't there.
They were. They have them. They were there.
Who's the producer? Whose job is it to make sure that all the loose ends are tied up? I'm too busy worrying about the planning,
big picture,
planning the show, the doing big the show.
Oh,
the
I see.
And what I do is just try to bring you all as much joy as I possibly can. And I try to do that every day.
Good effort, Mike. Good effort.
Anyway, glad the headphones are here.
They're on their way.
Oh, no. Wendell got me my other extra pair.
Ah.
So that's okay. Wendell handled it.
Yeah.
Oh, Wendell did? So Wendell had an extra pair of your headphones that neither Rob nor I knew about?
Hey, Wendell's on the ball. Wendell's prepared for any eventuality.
Smoot
was terribly excited.
It was terribly exciting.
Thanks, Wendell.
He did a nice job.
No, I thank Wendell seriously. Thank you.
What he did, Lisa, was sweat the details.
You know, he has two backups for you back there, I found out.
Does he really? What does he have?
Well, like two pairs of headphones.
No, he's got one pair of headphones and a bottle of Irish whiskey.
Oh, that's the other backup?
Those are my other backups.
I'm glad that we know this now, Wendell. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the complaint with the other ones that just went back there? Because he can fix them.
The right side is dead.
He's got a bitchin' set of tools.
There's nothing in the right channel.
And
right.
He'll give them a good cleaning.
All right.
Bitchin'.
All right, bye-bye.
Who uses bitchin' anymore?
I don't know. Toodaloo ass.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, wow.
Well, what happened?
She gave me a double finger point to her privacy.
Really? Well, wow. Was she pointing at the baby? Baby here? Baby on board? We got to get you one of those triangle yellow things, a monkey on board? Is that what we got to do? All right. Listen, this is the fun we have before we go on vacation.
That's right. Yeah, everybody blows off a little steam before we go away for a while.
For God's sakes, we're not going to see each other for a week.
Absolutely. And it's more depressing to me than any of you.
Please stop it.
I need you all now.
Please stop it. Rob,
need you all now.
I need the soap opera music. I'm sorry.
I need you all. I need you all now more than ever.
We need a call 100.
Sad to say, but it's true.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yes, I am caller 100.
Yes, you are, my friend. And what's your name?
My name is Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
I'm in Rockville, Maryland.
All right, Mike. Fourth row tickets for you for the WWE Tour of Defiance.
For wrestling.
This is at MCI Center, September 7th.
Sweet.
Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar. Tickets go on sale Saturday. You have won them before. You can buy them fourth row seats. Enjoy, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, Don and Mike.
You're very welcome. Have a great time.
Very good.
All right, I'm ready.
What?
No, I'm ready.
For what? Spear. No, I'm just saying, I you know, the time away is not as joyous as it used to be for me. And what I really, you know, it makes leaving a little more bittersweet. And it makes coming back, not that I'd want to not take a vacation. Don't get me wrong. But then when I see all of your scowling, frowning faces when we come back in a week, I just feel a kind of a warm glow inside of me. You know, and you know, I just hope that everything goes well on my vacation. You know, I know I'll have a good time when I'm with my children. That's going to be the best part of my vacation. But those alone times, man, I can't account for my whereabouts.
ESCORT. And I'm not talking about the car, Jack. I'm talking about the service.
Well, I've got three of them at the house already.
Curry escort?
Just waiting. Yeah, they're on call 24/7.
24/7.
Special deal that I worked out.
You got your Asian?
Got the Asian, a Russian, and a Latina.
Right.
And they're all there. It's fantastic. It's Suki, Sasha, and... Rob, I need a Latina name that begins with an S.
Serena.
There you go.
Oh, no, that's Serena. Selena.
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 Suki, Sasha, and Selena.
Selena.
All right now.
Serena is the tennis player, Serena
right.
Williams.
Right. And they all, you know, they like me for me. That's what I like about them.
Sure, not your big fat wallet.
Nah, not a bit. Not that I'm just a Dollar Tree that they can pick the dollars off.
Rob,
no. There'll be moments like that, and I know you want to play this song,
no,
and that's
no,
okay. I can accept
it. He loaded it in there.
He loves to play this song.
I did not know he loaded this in the machine.
Yeah, previous vacations have been exercises in joy.
Joyless.
Hey, you know, but I am going to be with my children.
So you're not
going
to be alone.
When I'm not with my children, those are the few days that I will be concerned about, because I will simply have really no formal plans outside of rolling around to various watering holes.
I'm going
to
make you an offer right now.
What's that?
And this is Drop Dead Serious as Cancer.
Yes. Huh.
Offer.
No,
I don't want you singing this song on vacation.
Well, no, I'm not going to be that bad.
Come on, pick up the phone.
Hello?
Sweetie.
Hello? Wait.
Pick up.
Hi, sweetie.
Listen, I'm serious. I want to invite Mike down for a couple days.
Well, I think you should. Bart's having a couple of guy friends down. You can have your pal down, too.
I appreciate that. I am serious. As a heart attack.
We got a big place.
I appreciate that.
More room than we need.
That's very nice.
You can have a room to yourself.
I appreciate that, but I will get in the way of my pursuit of the next Mrs. Mike O'Mara, which I will be doing in the local area.
No, you know what? You could do the pursuit just with me tagging along.
I
Or you could go with Bart and his pals. They're single. They mostly go to the under 21.
They go to the under 21 clubs.
I cannot possibly express my gratitude at the invitation. But I am fine. I will be fine here.
I do mean it serious.
I know you do, and you know, if I plan a little day trip down to the Ocean City area, I'll do that. But I've got a band gig this weekend, so I mean it's.
And then my sister's single, and she might know some of her friends that are single. Are you sure
that's
she
okay.
has.
I will be fine. I will be fine. It's warming up the band, getting the band ready for our appearance at Brady's in Manassas on Saturday night. But hey, you know what? Some of the band gave me a tough time, but we will not be giving away T-shirts. We will not be selling T-shirts.
Stop.
Freudian slip right there. We're giving them away. We're giving them away. I guarantee you someone will leave the band gig.
One T-shirt.
With a T-shirt.
Right,
absolutely. But thank you for your invite, and I'll be fine.
I'm
flying to Boston on Monday.
And I do mean it.
I know you do.
Come
and
down
I know you
spend a couple of days.
I would. If I could, I would. I would come down and do that. No.
You were just saying you got time.
No, I can't.
You got time. It's 3 hours away.
No, I can't. Got to practice tomorrow night, and then Friday is... You know, by Friday night, and then
it
would only be one day.
Then what is all? Then what is all this about?
I just want people.
Seems like an eternity.
I want people to feel sorry for me. That's my goal.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I didn't know. Was your band gig this Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, because Kathy and I are throwing a birthday party for Dee Dee at Dee Dee's house, and I'd like to invite you to come. You're more than welcome
Thank
to
you.
Come.
Thank you. Why don't you come over to the thing afterwards and bring Kathy?
She's listening right now.
Isn't that your dream?
Hello, Kathy.
Mike was to get involved with your sister.
Yeah, please. And she said, by the way...
fabulous, waking up with all the Herndon sisters simultaneously. Good morning. Well, one of them's married, so that...
Teddy and Teddy are married.
Teddy, so. I'm sorry. My apologies to Teddy. I like Teddy.
Yeah.
Teddy's a good boy.
One of Dee Dee's sister's husbands? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I acknowledged him.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't remember the name at the time.
All right, so really, you're not as bad off as you were thinking. Okay.
I'm fine.
Good. Forget
that. It was more just yesterday than today. And it's just, you know, it's...
Isn't it rich?
Stop it.
Hey, sweetie, are you still there?
Yes, my darling.
Thank you for the invite, Freya.
Well, you know, I saw that Bob Evans movie, and as he told Ally McGraw, you know, here's our number. We're only 7 digits away.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right.
I got a bunch of tapes today. Let's see. Hold on a second.
Oh.
I want a quick quiz.
Yeah.
Let's play How Well does Frida know her husband? What is my all-time favorite made-for-HBO movie that I watch whenever it's
Barbarians
on?
At the Gate.
She knew it right away. Didn't have to finish the question.
Yeah.
And can quote dialogue scene by scene. Here's a harder one. What is the movie? I own the DVD. It is a rather current release within the last year.
Right.
Even though I own the DVD, I will stop and watch the movie in its entirety every time it's on. Every single...
Well, there's a lot of ones. I mean, you like Proof of Life?
All right, no, not that one.
You like that one.
Yeah, but I like this one more than that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Yeah.
Features Gary Oldman.
The Contender.
The Contender. She's winner. 2 for 2.
Winner. And we got tapes from both of them.
And they're great acting movies. I mean, just great characters. Really, really
tapes.
Fun.
We got our tapes.
Wasn't The Contender nominated for an Academy Award?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
Joan Allen was.
Yes, it was.
Joan Allen was, but not the movie itself? Might have been. I'm not sure.
We got The Contender tape. That has so much to do with our situation.
Did you tell your friends what a nerd you were in the movie with Bart when you saw the preview coming up for Star Trek movie?
So when Bart and I went to see XXX, the ad for the next Star Trek Next Generation movie came on.
Another Star Trek movie is coming out?
Yeah.
And I turned to him seriously and I went, oh, yeah.
With a fist bump.
And he punched me in the arm. He said, Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, right.
For Christmas. And the problem is, they acknowledge that they're all getting older, and this will be the final Star Trek Next Generation movie. But the problem is, Data is getting older, and when they have like a close-up of him now...
But they're bringing back Bones, and he really is Bones.
The problem is with Data now, when they paint his face,
right?
You can see the skin, you can see like the frown lines
the
and
wrinkles.
Stuff.
So he shouldn't be aging, being that he's an android.
He's an android, right. All right, sweetie.
All right, boo-boo.
Hey, hold on. Which Barbarians at the Gate tape do you want to hear? You want to hear the one where Ross calls...
Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson, where he's wearing the Superman suit? Or do you want to hear the one where they're eating dinner out on the patio and she says, would I be
too... Oh, play that one.
Would I be too piggy if I asked to do the PR on this deal? And James Gardner says,
I was saving that for dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's a good one.
Goodbye.
Tell me. Well, Ross has agreed to let Shearson Lehman raise all the money he needs for the buyout.
Oh, Ross, that is so super.
It just seems right. You guys are like family.
Did you call Peter?
I have a call into him now.
Can he do it in 3 weeks? I'd love to spring this at the next board meeting.
Don't see why not.
Ross, could I pitch my firm to handle the PR for you, or am I being too piggy?
I was saving that for dessert.
Now listen, I gotta do it. What we are doing right now, we are not swimming in Lake Mee.
Right.
We are drowning in Lake Mee, and I mean Lake Us.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is probably a segment that only two people in the entire country are digging on.
I think anybody that I don't think we're alone in digging this movie. There are a lot of people that like this movie. It's just so corporate America, and it's so what it's all about. And it's so 80s, and then the 80s bubble burst, and it's fantastic.
And
it's
I read the book first, Barbarians at the Gate, which is about RJR Nabisco and the LBO of the company.
I mean, this is what they do. They sat around, they moved their chess pieces all over the board.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Here's another good one.
Oh, that LBO stuff's way over my head, Henry. I just can't follow it.
You don't have to. Bankers and lawyers work it all out.
Well, all I want from bankers is a new calendar every year, and all I care about lawyers is they're back in their coffins before the sun comes up.
We pay off the debt incurred in buying the company with cash from its ongoing operation, and by selling off pieces of the business.
That's French for firing people, isn't it, Henry?
As few as possible, of course.
Few dozen? 10,000?
As I said, as few as possible.
Great scene.
Wow. Evil.
He's another good
he
one.
He reminds me
our
of
our proposal is, come Wednesday's board meeting, you make an offer to buy the company at $75 a share.
$75? Jesus, that sounds high.
Oh, now, this is where they're sitting at Ross Johnson's house in Palm Springs. They're in the backyard, and the guy who was in Animal House,
right.
His name is Peter in this.
Peter Riegert.
Peter Riegert. And his name is Peter in the movie as
Peter
well.
Peter Cohen.
And what he's doing is he's proposing the leveraged buyout of RJR Nabisco,
right,
to Jim Rockford,
right,
who is
F. Ross Johnson.
F. Ross Johnson.
Right. It is high. That's the idea.
It's got to be attractive as hell,
and still make sense to us, of course.
How much would that come to? At $75 a share, how much would we need to raise?
We'll be looking for $17 billion.
That's one piss load of money.
Exactly. We'll be throwing the kind of numbers at the board that no one else possibly
can. One shot, we're knocking out any and all conceivable competition.
But at that price, with that kind of debt load, how long is it going to be before your bean counters start trying to pare down the company expenses, telling me how many jets I can have and all that nickel nursing crap?
Never. You run the company the way you want.
I'd have to borrow an extra ass to work off to do it, I can tell you that.
This is what you personally stand to make over the next 5 years once you take over RJR Nabisco.
It's $50 billion.
Are these figures for real?
It'd be even more.
It's awfully rich, Ross, and it makes the deal much more difficult. I'm sure we wouldn't want to advertise those numbers to anyone, of course.
I don't think a skywriter would have enough smoke for them all, do you?
You?
You guys get a lot of tape from this.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hi, this is Rob. How are you today?
Okay, Rob.
I just want to let you guys know that Fred Thompson, Senator Fred Thompson, he's got a new job after he gets out of the Senate this year.
What's that?
He's going to be the DA on Law and Order.
Is he really? That's right. He's leaving the Senate. He's going to go back on TV.
All right,
back
thank you, my friend. That's terribly exciting.
He's really one of my favorite
actors.
Good.
Here's a great moment in Barbarians at the Gate where he's getting ready for a costume party.
He's wearing a Superman outfit.
Yeah, and F. Ross Johnson calls him to tell him that he wants American Express, the company, to handle
right.
the LBO. Okay. And we don't have the best part of this tape. It's clipped, but I'll give you the line after it's over.
Robinson's residence.
Jim, is this a bad time?
No, just dressing. Going to a charity do. What's happened? Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous. But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Oh, come ahead. Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend.
Come ahead.
This is terribly exciting.
I'm so pleased.
I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
And then he says, kiss your good lady for me.
Slicky boy.
Kiss your good lady for me.
Just slicky boy.
You have to have seen this movie to appreciate right. the fact how nuts we are about this HBO
this
movie.
This is terribly exciting, Ross.
Don and Mike, hello?
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, yeah. Don, I'm totally down with it, man.
Yeah, I knew a few
you're
people
would. You're into Barbarians like I'm into Wall Street, okay? It's my signature movie. I can cite the lines for it. I'm totally down with it, man. I know what you're feeling.
I think people really that have gone through the 80s and the 90s, they are in tune with this business crap that everybody got plugged into for a while.
It's still pretty timely with the Enron stuff and
absolutely.
Everything else that's going on.
And
now.
You know there'll be movies about that.
Hold on. And here's thank you for the call, my friend.
No problem.
Here's one more great one. This is where, now what was going to save RJR Nabisco
was a specialty cigarette.
The Premier. Which was a smokeless cigarette. I don't know if you heard about this
right.
back in the 80s.
I remember.
This was something that was supposed to be a cigarette that wouldn't give you cancer.
That's right.
So they have been doing research on this and put millions and billions of dollars into it. And now F. Ross Johnson goes down to Winston-Salem, North Carolina,
right.
where he's going to be told the test results for Premier.
Not good.
Now, 8% of that group sampled at least one Premier to give us their opinion of the product.
Bottom line?
Well, of all the groups we tested, the response to Premier was just about uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They all said they tasted like
They all said that? Nobody liked them? Fewer than 5%.
How much are we in for up to now?
To date?
Today, to here. To...
Oh, and then the little guy says, Ross, you give me 5% of the smoke market any day.
Huh.
Upwards of 350.
We spent $350 million and we come up with a turd with a tip? God almighty, Ed. We poured enough technology into this project to send a cigarette to the moon and we come up with one that tastes like it took a dump?
We haven't even talked about the smell.
What did they say that was like? A fart?
Yep.
Oh, you're not serious. They really said that?
We've got an awful lot of fart figures, sir, yes.
Tastes like and smells like a fart. We got ourselves a real winner here. It's one goddamn unique advertising slogan, I'll give you that.
And then the little guy is trying to save his job. Says, I'll take 5% of the smoking market any day. Any day. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, you forgot about the scene where when he's standing there in the Superman suit that the maid is ironing his money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Right.
He's had an ironing board of $20 bills wearing a French
making it nice and crisp for him.
Yeah. Just folding and ironing his money.
God. Ironing his money. That is a really great detail.
It's not just F you money. It's F everybody money.
Whatever happens, you're safe, John. You could walk away with $7 million, maybe more. We're not talking just f*** you money, John boy. We're talking f*** everybody money.
Everybody.
Wish me luck.
I just pray you get it. I really do.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
And as the guy said, now I know what the F and F Ross Johnson stands for.
That's the old guy who says that. Charlie Hubert, I think is the guy's name.
Now I know what the F and F Ross Johnson stands for.
Ross, we're down to figures now. We've gone with the KKR offer. Frankly, what made it more appealing was you were not involved.
You know you're a savant.
I know it by heart.
Good movie.
And the other movie I know by heart is The Contender.
Similar type. I mean, political and business. I mean, you know, the same type of stuff.
Oh, here's someone who's actually tried a Premier cigar. Really? John?
Yay.
You tried a Premier cigar?
It was a cigarette.
A cigarette?
College in Arizona.
Did it taste like S?
Oh, it was terrible. No smoke, but it still stunk.
That's amazing.
All right, thank you, my friend. And then we finally got saved from The Contender. Now, this one we play, it has hidden meaning
right
to us.
Absolutely.
Especially the beginning part of this one. Just has hidden meaning for us.
Well, I'm sure you're wondering why I'm here.
Well, I think you're here because you want to know why I'm not fighting back. Because despite it all, you got some odd sense of fair play. Yeah, you're kicking my ass. It's gone from feeling like easy pickings to out and out bullying.
I just feel like there should be some back and forth between us, you and the committee.
I give you back and forth on Social Security, relations with Israel, on the Dow Jones, the census, almost everything, but not this. No, not my personal life. It's just nobody's business.
Well, that's not what the people will tell you. The people will tell you that it is their business.
You know what? You're young. It's okay. It's okay. You're young. And I'm just going to choose to be amused by your naivete, give you the benefit of the doubt.
See, what the parallel there is, I can't go into detail, but
right.
This woman who wants to be the vice president...
Right.
People are running a smear campaign on her.
She is being eviscerated. She is being slammed, and she won't fight back.
And they keep saying to her, why don't you just stand up and fight back?
Right.
And she says, it simply is beneath me.
It's beneath my dignity.
It simply is beneath my dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lame.
Then we had this one, which we played yesterday. Great one. The American people will tolerate a lot.
Right.
But they won't tolerate a vice president with a mouth full of CEOs.
Sorry, I can't do it. Not over this. And if I know our president, he's not going to allow me or himself to get shot down over what would have been a private sexual encounter.
Some swan song for the old man, huh?
The senator got a little wild when she was 19. What is the big deal?
Well, let me explain the big deal to you. The people of this nation can stomach quite a bit. The one thing they can't stomach is the image of a vice president with a mouth full of...
You don't have to use... Look. Let's use the word alleged.
They got photos. They got witnesses. They got the alleged slut.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I'm a husband.
I'm a husband first.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
All right, Mike, and here's one for you.
Is any of Gary Oldman eating?
No. Got it.
Okay.
Got the scene in the Senate dining room.
All right, very good, very good.
When Gary Oldman, Sheldon,
right,
is having dinner, having lunch with Lane, who is the vice presidential nominee.
Lane?
Shelley.
Yeah, he's eating.
Sorry, I started.
You were late.
Not too late, I hope.
A minute or two. Were you tied up with anything?
No, sorry, I'm just late.
I ordered you the porterhouse.
Oh, no, I don't eat meat. I'll just have the penne.
You can really try the steak.
No, thank
Hugo
you.
Hugo to put it on
no,
the
no,
outside.
No. Have you seen this?
My file on you, Senator.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it? Eating.
Have you read it yet?
How did you get it?
What do you have to say for yourself?
With all due respect, I'm Senator. It doesn't matter what I have to say for myself.
No, it doesn't. Well, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that all you can claim about me...
Claim?
...is that I had sex while...
Deviant sex.
Oh, who deviant? Who says it was deviant?
I do. From what I say, the American people will believe. And you know why? Because I'll have a very big microphone in front of me.
He's chewing away on his meat.
Okay, you want to hear Jeff Bridges is also outstanding.
Yeah, fantastic movie.
When he talks about one of the perks of being president,
right,
is that you can get anything you want to eat.
Shark steak sandwich.
Anytime. Is this the Kung Pao chicken with walnuts?
I think so.
Otto.
Here we go. One of these days I'll catch him napping.
I saw this movie once where the president is just tickled that anything he wants to eat he can get in a moment's notice.
Here, it turns out it's the perfect century.
Otto.
Yes, Mr. President?
Yeah, sorry for the late notice. For lunch, could you arrange some coq au vin with a side of penne?
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
And pudding.
And, hazelnut pudding for dessert.
No problem, sir.
One day I'll catch him napping.
Wonder if it's really like that.
Probably.
You do wonder if it's like that.
Okay, what else do I got?
Of course,
God damn.
Right now, what do you want, wings?
Yeah. We're like mental patients. These are already scenes to movies that we know by heart anyway.
Right.
Jesus.
Dignity.
Right. Well, we'll just have to make this all not worthwhile for Mr. Runyon. What have you got on the distinguished gentleman from Illinois?
You got
pretty
stocks?
Good stuff, actually.
You got stocks,
the investigation,
1985. You got stocks? I want something embarrassing! Something sexual! Little boys, midgets, that sort of thing. Cows, I don't give a goddamn.
Come on, Kermit. If we do that, we're no better than he is.
Lane.
We are no better than he is.
God damn. Great movies.
You got stocks?
Mike, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and say that just there was another movie that came out just around the same time that was just as good. It was called The Insiders.
You mean with Russell Crowe?
Yeah, about the tobacco.
Yeah, great movie. A little more dark and a little heavier than The Contender, but a great movie.
That great movie.
Also, can I also say my favorite line in The Contenders?
Yeah.
Was when the little boy was with the president and says, you know, one thing good about being the vice president is that nobody wants to shoot him.
That is a great
nobody
line.
Wants to shoot you. That is
no
a great
wants
line.
To shoot the vice president.
That movie is beautifully put together.
And
really,
you're right about that. The Insider is another movie.
Right.
That it's awesome.
If it's on,
yeah,
I'm on it from beginning
it.
To end.
I can see it more from beginning to end. 35 times.
Yeah, and wow. That's what's great. I mean, what that is the story is so compelling. It's
and
mm-hmm.
Really, you realize what a great actor Russell Crowe is.
Yeah.
That, and I'm not kidding. Russell Crowe
no,
got
right.
He got fat. He
yeah.
Died. He dyed his hair.
Uh-huh.
He did a different accent.
Dr. Uh-huh. Wygant.
He's a very good actor.
Dr. Jeffrey Wygant.
Jeffrey Wygant.
And
you know the best,
Al
best
Pacino
guy.
Was great
my
too.
Favorite part of The Insider is when he goes to the tobacco CEO and the guy's drumming with those ugly, like, I'm dead fingernails of his.
I know.
Fantastic.
I thought for sure this guy was going to get shot, especially when he had that bullet in his mailbox.
Right. Mailbox?
Yeah.
Great movie.
I said, this guy is dead.
And he's sitting there hitting golf balls, and he looks down, the guy's in a full suit hitting golf balls, just staring at him.
Al Pacino, at the end of the day, I'm just a guy who works for 60 minutes. You take away the 60 minutes,
and I'm nothing.
And then when he's out in the middle of the ocean trying to talk to Jeffrey Wygant on his cell phone,
right.
He's got the guy from the hotel, and he goes, "You tell him to pick up the goddamn phone. Answer the goddamn phone."
Great movie.
Goddamn.
There are a few of them out there. You got to find them.
We love them. We love them.
I'm terribly excited about this segment. Highbrow movies we enjoy.
Ross, Henry's out. He's in Aspen. He's skiing. Are you sure? I'm sure. And then Henry Kravitz picks up the phone and goes, he's got all these spreadsheets in front of him, and he goes, "I've been crunching snow all day. You go ahead and crunch numbers. I'll put my wife on the phone with you."
Lying about the fact that he's not working.
Beautiful. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hold on. One more great line from Barbarians at the Gate. When James Garner's on the phone, and he goes, "Well, I'm the one being crucified," and Henry Kravitz has the nail concession.
And they make KKR, Henry Kravitz, out to be the great Satan.
He is.
And he really is.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, there is a book out that you guys might be interested in called Bias. It's written by a guy that reported with 60 Minutes in CBS, and it talks about whistleblowers and stuff like that. It's a pretty interesting book. You guys might enjoy that.
Maybe they'll make a movie out of that, too.
Probably.
We won't have to read.
Yeah, but we don't read. We like movies.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, goodbye. Did I get them all?
All but this one.
All but this one? One more?
Yeah.
You said under oath you never committed adultery.
Right.
You perjured yourself.
I didn't commit.
You were f***ing Will when he was married.
All right, Katie.
Even the most loose definition of committing adultery would not include that.
She's right. You're right, Lion. In order for her to be committing adultery, she'd have to be married at the time. You're nitpicking in reverse now. Your husband may be in adultery. You're not. Fine. What you are is a sex-crazed home-wrecking machine. The female Warren Beatty. Runyon knows that you're clean of the perjury, but he's got the world thinking you're something out of a bad soap opera. You've goddamn crystallized the difference between being guilty and being responsible.
You take it up right. To the yell. Oh, you don't take it up to the yell. When he walks into the back behind the thing, he goes,
"Aah!" He's wearing a Yale t-shirt, West Point.
Yeah.
And you know who else is great in the contender is the guy from CSI.
Oh, William Peterson.
Peterson.
Oh, William Peterson is the crooked governor.
And it's fantastic. So great at the end when they nail him.
Oh, yeah.
It is so great. All right, and last thing about this movie. Mike and I were having an off-air discussion about the contender. If you've seen The Contender, when William Peterson comes back after Jeff Bridges tells him he's not going to be
right
the vice president, and he gives him that bull line, "You're the future of the Democratic Party, you always will be."
Right.
When he arrives at home and his wife is pissed off, do you think that his wife knew about the plan to kill the woman?
Or to have the woman go off the bridge intentionally.
And have William Peterson save her. Do you think the wife knew?
I said yes. I think she knows.
I think so, because otherwise, why would she be so mad? She says, "That's the plan. That's
right.
The plan."
Yeah, she was in on it. I think she was somehow, if you're overreading it, she's somehow connected to getting those women involved.
But you know what else?
Hathaway.
I told Mike, you know who I would do in a heartbeat in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Sam Elliott?
The FBI agent.
Oh, the FBI. I don't even know what her name is. I haven't seen her in any other movies.
The FBI agent.
She is so hot.
Who is eating the lifesavers when she's talking to William Peterson.
God. When she got those little glasses on. Oh, my God. Turbo hot.
Don't forget about the helicopter scene. This might be totally inappropriate, but I just want to say, Lane means a lot to the women of America, and anything you can do to clear her name would really be fantastic.
You're damn right. That absolutely was inappropriate.
He slams the door in her face.
Takes off in his helicopter.
God damn.
Mr. Power Broker.
Don and Mike.
Well, you know, if you've never seen this movie, you got to run out and get it this weekend.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you guys into the movie Boiler Room?
Oh, same kind of movie.
Come on.
Really, right in the same category.
Ask us the scene and we'll tell you the scene.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a great scene where they're doing what you're doing. They're watching Michael Douglas.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Wall Street. And then they can do all the lines themselves.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movie.
That is awesome.
Yeah, Boiler Room's right up there. I mean, it's in the collection.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to say, in Barbarians at the Gate, my favorite line, when the little guy was telling James Garner how...
they're bitching at him for a variety of reasons, and he says, well, tell them they can stick it up a variety of asses.
He's got, as an actor, I mean, he's probably got some of the greatest lines in that made-for-HBO movie. It's incredible.
Tell them to stick them up a variety of asses. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Tom, first-time caller. How you guys doing?
You know what else? Hold on. One more thing with James Garner in that movie. When he's first sitting down to dinner with Henry Kravitz,
right,
and he lights a cigar, and he goes, damn, I like smoke. I like it. And they go to a shot of Henry Kravitz and give him one of these, you know, F you looks.
Isn't that like London dining room that he has? The ornate, all the antiques around there. Incredible.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, guys, you mentioned something about the contender, and I just love Sam Elliott. Every time he opens his mouth, I just freaking roll in the floor.
Yeah.
But have you guys seen We Were Soldiers?
Mel Gibson, no. I haven't. Have you seen it?
No. Yeah, it's great. There's one scene in particular where Mel Gibson's giving this Ray Ross speech about how we're, you know, all a big family and how we're going into battle, and you know, everybody looked at their ancestors, his grandfathers, and then he walks away, and all of these guys have got a real misty look in their face, and then Sam Elliott looks at all of them and he says, "Any of you sons of bitches calls me grandpa and I'll kill you."
You know, Sam Elliott, man. I mean, I didn't know he was in that movie. It's really worth getting a movie he's in, because he. You know, what he is really is like a cowboy.
He is a cowboy.
He's a total cowboy, but he plays all these different roles.
Hello. Great. Don and Mike, last call here. Hi.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, it's John in the car. How you doing?
Hi, John.
In the contender, I don't think Governor's wife knew.
You know.
If you remember, when they come out of that room, when they come out of the old office, she's in that sort of anteroom.
Right.
She looks like totally shocked. You know, when they walk out, she's like, you know, the look on her face, like, what the hell's going on?
Well, that would happen anyway. I mean, I think, when she says the plan, when he comes back after he's been rejected for the vice president.
Because she would be shocked if she knew about the plan, because she thought they got away with it.
And what they portray her as right away, right off the bat, is a grit, a white trash dirtball that would be involved in something like this. Remember when she's going, what's the effing deal, you know? I mean, that's why I think she's done it. What's that?
Grit and footies.
Grit and footies.
I haven't heard that word since high school.
Is she's a grit?
Yeah, grit.
Goodbye.
I use it all the time.
Hey, does anybody remember that in the back of comic books, to make money, you can sell a newspaper called Grit?
Grit, sure.
Remember?
You sell like 100 subscriptions, you'll never have to work for the rest of your life.
Right. Right.
But I was too busy building my own hovercraft.
Sunny Roast Beef.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What?
Yeah, there's a good movie on, it was on Lifetime. It was about this guy. He was a DJ, and his wife left him, and then he eventually killed himself.
You know.
F you, Sonny Rose B.
All right, that officially will end this segment.
Well, I'm terribly excited about that film.
Ross, I couldn't be happier. Mike, kiss your good lady for me.
Oh, man, or would it be too piggy?
I'm saving it for dessert.
There you go, F. Ross Johnson.
Now we know what the F stands
now
for.
Now I know what the F and F. Ross Johnson stands for.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Right.
Ready to believe you.
Listen, my friend.
You can call Don and Mike.
Hold on. Thank you.
Okay.
With or without lubricant, they're still two of the best jerks around. Don and Mike.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you
doing? Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I wanted to give you an update on the gentleman's relish recipe yesterday.
Oh, from the sexpert who was on the show?
Oh, did you pay attention?
Yes, we tried it out last night, my girlfriend and I.
And?
Initial results are inconclusive. She said that the initial taste is better, but the overall aftertaste was the same. So we're going to try it tonight after letting it soak in for a little bit longer.
I'm sorry. I know you get excited during these segments.
It's my wheelhouse.
Steamroll right ahead. Go ahead, sorry. Buzz.
Did you take it an hour beforehand?
Yes, we did.
Okay,
we did. Full hour.
All right. That's one of the important things.
Right on. It was so we're going to try again. We're going to let it soak in like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
We're going to be on vacation. Why don't you just call Buzz at home tonight?
Yeah. I was simply going to say, and obviously she doesn't care for that, and that's why you did that experiment?
Well, sort of. She doesn't mind, but she'd like it if it was better.
Right. This guy's gross.
Gotcha.
Hello. This is just like...
Got a mic.
She'd like it if it was better.
I'm wondering if you guys watch American Idol.
Yes, watched it last night, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I want to ask Robbie, is Justin a mulatto?
That, you know what, that's an outstanding question. Rob, are you aware of the guy who kind of looks like Carrot Top?
Yeah, you know, I've checked on a lot of my websites and a lot of my charts at home, and again, results are inconclusive. Stay tuned to this channel.
I will tell you what I hate most about American Idol. What I hate most is at the very end, when somebody, it happens tonight, when someone gets kicked off,
yeah,
when they cry. And last week, when RJ lost...
RJ's a fag.
RJ Diaz. The Hispanic fag who was on...
Now, RJ, we're not talking about you.
No. There's a guy who was on American Idol named RJ.
Yeah, I've called RJ a lot of things. I've never said that to him.
Hispanic fag?
I've never called him a Hispanic fag. Well,
this guy, I don't know how this guy managed to slide to the final four, but he did, or the final five, however far he made it. So at the very end, they go, and the loser is RJ. And immediately he starts crying.
Wow.
And then as the other contestants come up to console him,
comfort him,
they're saying to each other, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm like, listen, you stupid fags. How could you love each other? You've been on a TV show.
They hate each other.
For 4 weeks.
They want each other dead.
Right. One of you is going to be the winner. One of you is going to be, it's going to be the girl that sings like Whitney Houston.
They want the family dead. They want to burn the house down and they want to urinate on the ashes.
The girl who sings like Whitney Houston is going to be your winner.
You don't think the quadrant is going to win? That's my official position.
What's a quadrant?
That is one quarter after.
Yeah, but who's the one you'd most likely do? I would do Nikki.
I don't know. I'd do the Whitney Houston girl.
Really?
I guess. I don't know the names.
Nikki's the one with that wore like the multicolored pants last night.
I don't know. Maybe the girl that I like.
A show that I wouldn't watch unless Don gave me a homework assignment.
Oh yeah,
I was so not plugged into this. I was basically this is one of those where Don is a little more plugged in than I am when it comes to like pop culture. And he said you should watch this, and I watched it for the very first time, and I found the entire thing silly.
And you'll find out why in a moment. Why I asked Mike to make sure you watched that show last night.
Good call.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, the guy is not Carrot Top. Better, he's Sideshow Bob from Simpsons. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Hello, Donna Mike. Hello.
And he did the worst Michael Jackson song. He did PYT. Like a crap, stiff Michael Jackson.
Pretty Young Thing.
Oh, and it's all, I said, nah, 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 with his, like, look at my winning smile.
I think they're assigned their songs. They don't get to choose them.
No,
they get to pick them.
They get to choose because I saw the girl, the big fat black guy said, honey, you chose the wrong song. You did Patti LaBelle. Nobody does Patti LaBelle. Then Paula Abdul said, you did good, but it was the wrong song. And then Simon said, talk to you later.
Right.
That's all he said.
Exactly.
He didn't have much to say. He might have something to say.
I wish he'd have more to say later.
In our next segment. Mike, you're fine. Trust me, you're fine. I told you how to dial in last night.
Thank you, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
You guys are talking about the American Idol. I was watching some show the other day, and Samuel L. Jackson was on, and was talking about... he's related to that Justin guy. Like, he's like a second cousin or something like that.
To who?
To Justin.
To the Octoroon?
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Wife's parents are first cousins with Justin's parents. So by marriage, they're second cousins.
Second cousins. I had something like that.
Shouldn't he be darker then?
I don't think there's any formula.
It doesn't work that way.
I don't think there's any formula.
Go to my website.
Rob's website will explain it all.
Hello?
Yeah, Don, I think that Justin looks a lot more like Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Hey, Justin's getting the compliments, isn't he?
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah, over the weekend, I saw a thing, a Morgan Freeman Shawshank homo phone line. You guys know anything about that?
But listen, leave the right... Leave the riding and the driving to us, would you please?
Yes, sir.
Cut it out. Thank you, my friend.
Cut it out.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I have a quiz for you. Who would win a fist fight between Simon from that show and Robinson from Weakest Link?
Everybody.
Or the American viewing public, yes.
That's right, okay. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, they had it on the show that his dad is black and his mom is white.
So, Rob, that makes him...
So he is a mulatto.
A mulatto.
That makes him a mulatto, but then, you know, if you say that his dad... I stand by it. I think his dad must be light-skinned.
You
show him,
mulatto.
Man. They show him in the crowd.
Yeah, they show him.
Up.
You're wrong. He is not. He is a mulatto.
Right on.
Really? I hate to, like, go into your area. I know, Doctor.
No,
I know, Doctor, you're an expert.
Actually, it's a victory to have you in my area.
I know.
I just kind of said that. I'm involving myself in this crap.
It always sounds to me like something you'd order at Starbucks.
What, a mulatto?
A tall mulatto.
With an extra
skim
shot.
Milk.
And just a little cinnamon on top. Stop it, Mike.
That's a great mulatto.
Okay. Mike, hello.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
I like mulatto with octoroon sprinkle.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, that interview that Simon guy on TV, he said, he's talking about the guy that looks like Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
He said if he wins, America has a problem.
Thank you. And then he said...
Harris have won if he does win.
And did you hear after that? What's your name, sir?
It's Vincent.
Well, if Vincent gets through on the air, America's finished. So they said, if you got through on our show, America's finished.
Wow. Finished. No more mulattoes.
All over.
Bye-bye.
See you later, dude.
Bye, dude.
Bye-bye.
Okay, it's Wednesday.
Yes.
And you know what that means.
Yeah, mulattoes.
It's a lot of Wednesday.
Newspaper day.
Yeah.
And it's Craig Wilson day.
Very good.
And he's right there in USA Today waiting for us. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll. From the USA Today, the final word by Craig Wilson.
How to love a ragtop. The answer is blowing in the wind. Nothing more than
feeling. I read somewhere the other day that sales of convertibles are up 28% over last year at this time. The report couldn't conclude with why this upswing is happening, especially with the economy being so shaky, but it hinted that September 11th might have something to do with it.
Car buyers are taking a devil-may-care attitude, deciding it's time to put a little wind in their hair. It's now or never. It's later than they thought. That kind of thing.
So they go and buy themselves a convertible.
Good for them!
I'm a firm believer that everyone at some point in his or her life should own a convertible. I did, and was lucky enough to have had it when I had a full head of hair.
Not that a full head of hair is a prerequisite for convertible ownership, but it definitely adds to the experience.
I remember driving 5 hours to Boston once with the top down, only to arrive at dinner with friends and my hair a greasy tangle and my ears ringing from the wind. I couldn't hear a thing. It was bliss.
I was the first to put my top down in the spring.
Oh, man.
The last to put it up in the fall. More of 10 than not. I'd turn on the heater rather than have a roof over my head. I even drove topless in the snow a time or two. You should try it sometime.
And now, I'm happy to report, the world is finally catching up. Even Cadillac, not the most madcap of car companies, previewed its XLR Roadster over the weekend at the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance. Yes, a two-seat convertible. It starts at $70,000, a tad more than my Triumph TR6 cost me. But even the button-down crowd knows it's time to put the roof down, too.
I doubt their $70,000 wind will be any better than mine was. But again, good for them. The one thing I don't understand are the people who drive convertibles but never put the tops down. Instead, they cruise around town with the AC on, windows closed.
Am I missing something here? They certainly are.
It's like keeping the plastic on the lampshade so it'll be nice for the next guy. It's like never opening that...
Wait.
Oh, the next guy.
Guy.
Let me say that again. It's like keeping the plastic on the lampshade so it'll be nice for the next guy. It's like never opening that fine bottle of wine, saving it for some special day.
So
like having a sailboat and never hoisting a sail. Let's just motor around, not get too messy.
I think you got the winning paragraph.
Yeah.
I like that.
2002 isn't a year to get messy. I don't know when it is. Now more than ever, life should be a convertible. The roads stretched out before us, the stars overhead, nothing to rein us in but the state police lying in wait behind the billboard down the road.
Ah, we've gone through the first song.
But now we return. From USA Today, the final word. Like Craig Wilson.
Turn that radio up.
Can't hear it. Is that Willie luring us back on the road again? Wind in our hair.
So what does the safety nerd say? Convertibles are dangerous. Life is dangerous these days. A little old car without a top isn't going to make things much worse.
If anything, it'll make things better.
I know old guys cruising around in beautiful and expensive convertibles have gotten a bad rap over the years. I was as guilty as anyone. Why is it that old fool driving the car, I'd always wonder? Why not me?
It's time to leave them alone. Old bald men just want to have fun, too. For them and maybe all of us, it really is later than we think.
Not his best effort.
No. He's got to go to Paris again.
He's got to queer it up a little bit.
Absolutely. Nancy it up a little bit, Craig.
Craig.
There's your highlights.
It was bliss. But you had the winning line.
It's like keeping the plastic on the lampshade so it'll be nice for the next guy.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'd like to vote for you don't want to get too messy.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of undertones
and
there.
And his tangled, greasy hair.
Yes.
Was that really from the wind?
Let's not
was
get
that really
why
grease?
Would the wind make your hair greasy?
I don't know. It's Craig.
All right, Robbie, you know what? Give me 60 seconds on the clock.
You got it.
Well, what would a show before vacation be if we didn't argue with some douchebag who's complaining that we're going on vacation?
Okay.
Sure. All right.
But we're only going to do it for 60 seconds.
Right? All right. Very good.
Yes. Hello, douchebag.
Hey.
Go ahead. What can we do for you?
I was just wondering why, because I enjoy your show, and it seems like you went on vacation less than 2 months ago.
That is correct. That is our schedule, and then we will be on through the beginning of December.
We get two summer vacations in July and in August.
Same deal.
Right around the 4th of July and right around Labor Day. Right.
Same deal every year, 10 years.
Okay.
Is that it? Are you...
Yeah, I didn't want to argue. I was just curious.
So that would be the end of the argument?
Oh, it wasn't an argument.
It wasn't an argument. Well, now it sounds like it's turning into an argument because you're saying it wasn't an argument.
I quit instigating.
It was not. Wait, hold on. On the screen, does it not say, what? Vacation again?
You know, Joe can put whatever he wants up on there.
No, it's not Joe. It's a Harvard guy.
So you don't want to...
I talked to Joe, and I heard Joe typing it.
You don't want to debate us?
No.
You're done making your point, S?
I was... Yes, S.
At least he got that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ass.
That's
bye.
He's gone.
Bye.
Bye, Ass. Bye. Hello, Don and Mike. Oops. What did I do there? Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I was calling about the relish, the mixture that the guy eats or drinks.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't work. I tried that one time with my wife. We tried all kinds of things. And nothing worked, but what I found was it's what the girl has in her mouth before the guy finishes. Like, and the way I realized it was in the morning when you brush your teeth and you drink orange juice or something, it tastes really terrible.
Right.
So I tried with her. I said, well, try different things to see if it changes the way it tastes.
So like another man.
No.
I mean, your philosophy would basically be, you know, if you drank a glass of toothpaste in the morning after brushing your teeth, you wouldn't even taste it. So if she has another man in her mouth before you're in her mouth.
No, no. What we found was if she, and this is going to seem odd, but we tried a bunch of things, but if she bit into a lemon just before it finished, it made it very sweet. Because
oh,
it
man,
no
you
bitter.
Do that with a shot of vodka. You don't do that with a...
I'll tell you what Rob told me.
Hey, I'll do anything.
Rob told me if Carrie doesn't like the taste of Rob's love...
Yeah.
That he puts his fist in her mouth.
Oh, dear God.
It softens the flavor.
Oh, my. Taste of copper.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello. Just wanted to comment on that guy telling you, wondering why you're going on vacation.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
I think he's just jealous that he doesn't get enough vacation.
He's on a permanent vacation, sir.
There you go. All right.
Call the unemployment line.
No need to have the fight clock running here. Okay. All right. Thank you, my friend. And don't forget the first rule of Fight Club.
Yeah.
Never talk about Fight
Never
Club.
Talk about right. Fight Club.
Never talk about Fight Club. A break, and when we come back, oh, goodness, all this talk about American Idol.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're setting up a bit. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jerry, looking ahead, don't you think your popularity will be diminished at home?
Back home, they take a different view of this sort of a thing. I expect a great reception when I get back there. My fans will understand.
Do you have any final words for England?
Yeah. England can kiss my ass.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, that was a short one. Yeah, dude, Walker did like 85 of these yesterday. Let's bang out a couple more.
Are they having a good time? Sure. Why not? We're good.
Don and Mike.
Room for one more before the break. Rob, I can't control myself. You know that.
They say the word pussy. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
There you go. Hold on. I want to hear that one again. Without the singing, please. This is a funny one.
All right. Nice and clear.
Let me start the record again.
Doo-doo. Doo.
They say the word pussy. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's a good bumper, goddammit.
Do I have my...
Do-do-do-do! Do-do-do! Oh, God.
They got culture coming out of their asses. Don and Mike.
All right. It's Wednesday,
yeah. But
it's like a Friday.
Right.
Since we're going on vacation. Oh, and we'll be back same day as everybody else gets back from the summer vacation. We'll be back on Tuesday, and that is
September 3rd,
day after Labor Day. So let's get a Friday favorite on today. I think you're going to like this one, everybody.
It's income now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Not since Howard Cosell. Has there been a man so loved to be hated? From American Idol, Simon.